Our Father and our God, we are so blessed this morning. We have a beautiful day. We have a time and a place to worship. We have so many things to be thankful for. We just praise you this morning, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for your goodness. You've carried us through some tough times. You've blessed us with some great times. You've blessed us with a beautiful day. You've blessed us with a mother. We wouldn't be here without our mother. You've blessed us in America with churches, and I pray for the churches all over our communities, our region today. I pray that your will would be done, that your spirit would guide and direct everyone. You've blessed us. We can live in the greatest nation on earth. You've blessed us, you've protected us, you've provided for us, you've saved, you've forgiven, you've redeemed, you've set the captives free. We praise you this morning, Father. You've healed, you've restored, you've transformed. Thank you, Lord. I do pray for these names on our prayer focus, Lord. There are many that are sick and hurting. There are many more names that could be on there that have lost their loved ones and still hurting. I pray for them today, Father. Please comfort them. There are people today, Lord, that will be reminded of things on this Mother's Day that hurt. Maybe their relationship with their mom wasn't the best. Maybe they're a mom that's lost their child. I just pray that you would comfort them in such a special way. They'd just feel your warm embrace today. And I thank you for all the relationships of moms and their relationships with all their family and friends and church and neighbors. And I just thank you for them. Thank you for every woman here today, whether they're a mom or not. Thank you for every lady here, Lord, young and older alike. I just thank you for every one of them. And so, Lord, we've gathered here to look at your word just a little bit and to be reminded of your goodness, to be reminded of your institution that you created in the Garden of Eden. You created Adam, and then you created Eve. You said, we created them in our likeness. And so I thank you for the institution of the family. Husband, wife, kids, that's your design. Motherhood, that's your design. Thank you, Lord, for each person here. We pray for those that couldn't be. We ask that you'd watch over them wherever they're at. Hospitals, care centers, sick, lonely, jails. We pray for everyone and ask that you be very real to them and very near to them too. Guide us as we have come to worship you this morning, I pray, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Today is a day set aside to worship the Lord and to honor mothers and to give God thanks for that role of motherhood. Sherry and I had an occasion here about a month or so ago to talk to a 97-year-old mother. I know this 97-year-old mother because I knew her when I was a little boy. She and her husband were pastors of the church and leader. And I knew her for 50 years, about 50 years, maybe just a little more. And never once, as my Sunday school teacher or my youth leader or my pastor's wife, never once did I ever hear her mention the son that she had lost. But the other day, at 97 years old, for the first time ever did she mention her little boy that she lost as a baby. I don't know why she didn't mention it before. Maybe it was too painful. But she mentioned it that day, and she mentioned to Sherry and I, because he was a baby, what he might look like in the presence of Jesus today. Tall, dark, and handsome. What he probably looks like in Jesus' presence. I mention that today because when I think of the role of motherhood in my mother, in your mother, in mothers, I praise God for that role because what a role it is. Amen? None of us would be here without our mother. And our mother has influence and to some degree shapes us and molds us. And I recognize that not every relationship was perfect. I know some of your stories, and on Mother's Day a few years ago, I recalled one of them to us. I recognize that. And I recognize that Mother's Day is just another reminder of I don't want to see another Mother's Day. I get that too. But I just want to say thank you, ladies, for your role today, whether you're a mom or not. Thank you for your role in perhaps nurturing somebody, perhaps loving somebody. Lots of you are moms, some of you aren't. But I just want to say thank you. When I think back on the years, and I think back to the pioneer days, this lady is 97, and I never had a chance to talk to her what it was like in the 20s or 30s. But I think back to some of those pioneer women living in sod houses with their little ones, raising them kids. And I think of even back in some of our era when we didn't have running water. Can you relate? Can anybody relate? You didn't have running water. I knew some of you could. My mother can too. 20 years without running water, raising 8 of us little rascals. And we think of the role of motherhood, but we don't think about it enough, perhaps. And what they have gone through, and the tears that they have cried, the hurt that they have had here for a lot of reasons. But I think of the women that were raising their children in a different time. I even think of simple little things like cloth diapers. My mother raised a bunch of us with cloth diapers. Even Sherry and I got that privilege to raise one with cloth diapers. But can you envision for a moment the woman that raises her children with no running water and cloth diapers? Like some of you have done. And raising your children when they were sick and throwing up all over the place and you didn't even have a bathroom. Some of you can relate. Can I get a witness? Some of you don't have a clue. But some of you can relate. My mother can relate. Oh, Ma, by the way, I threw up there too. And I think of the role of mothers. The anguish of spirit when we don't come home at night. The anguish in their hearts when we don't even know, she doesn't even know where we're at. And I thank God for mothers. I remember one time when I was a little fella and we didn't have too many cows. It's a good thing because we milked them by hand. Did you know any gals that had to milk the whole herd by hand? I've known some too. Had to milk the whole herd by hand. Well, fortunately at the time, my mother was raising a whole bunch of us and my father was working very full time, we only had 3 cows. I'm glad of that. Because one time I was out in the yard with a couple of my other siblings and I heard this screaming and wailing and I thought, what in the world? So I go running to our massive dairy barn that held about 4 cows and one of them was standing on my mother's foot and she couldn't get it off. And so I think about the role, I don't know if I push or not, or push it off or helped her get out from under the cow or what, but I think of the role of mothers cooking, cleaning, canning, and in lots and lots of cases having a job too, and if not having a job, then tending to the farm too. And I guess my point is I just want to say thank God for mothers. Thank God for the role that women play in our lives. And if you haven't thanked your ma lately, thank her today if you still have the opportunity to. Some of you don't have your moms, and I'm sorry about that. But if you haven't thanked your mother lately, today would be a good day. Thank you, Mother, for raising us in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I'm going to turn to Proverbs 31:30. I know that a lot of you ladies that know the Word of God well, you know that Proverbs 31 is a place that you don't often refer to. And you don't often refer to it because it's talking about this woman that pretty well walks on water. It's so it seems. And I have talked to many a godly woman that said, that's not even reality. All that she does, rises early, buys the linen, makes the clothes, plants a seed, feeds her kids, that's not even reality. So I'm not going to emphasize anything except for verse 30. I want to address women in general today. Some of you are mothers and grandmothers or stepmothers or adoptive mothers or whatever the role. Some of you are not. But I just want to talk to women in general today and try to say thank you and let you know how important that you are. But I want to emphasize Proverbs 31:30 for what it says. Here's what it says. New King James Version says it this way. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's right. Amen. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. We all know that. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The contemporary English version says it this way, charm can be deceiving, and beauty fades away, but a woman who honors the Lord, she deserves to be praised. Hallelujah. A woman who honors the Lord deserves the praise of people. Proverbs 31:30 in the Message translation says this word, says this way, charm can mislead and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. That is the woman to be praised. Now, we don't oftentimes think of that in today's society. We put emphasis on a lot of other things. As a matter of fact, when you look at societies around the globe, you will see societies even yet where a woman needs to be and is told to be and dictated, stay out of sight. You will see societies where they cannot drive, where they cannot go to school, absolutely can't vote, and absolutely can't hold any public office. As a matter of fact, in those societies, and even sometimes in America, in too many homes, the women, wives, mothers, daughters are of really little worth in way too many societies even yet today. And sadly enough, that's even the case sometimes in America. And sadder still, it's even sometimes in the Christian home. Women are taken for granted. They are misused. They're sometimes outright verbally, emotionally, physically, or sexually abused, even in the Church of America sometimes. Proverbs, the wisdom of Solomon said, a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Now, we have women doctors, we have women lawyers, we have women farmers, we have women mayors, we have women in the Senate, we have women in the United States Supreme Court, women in Congress, women in the pulpit, women firefighters, women police officers, and we still also have that blessed occupation that is called the stay-at-home mother. Hallelujah. Do you ever sense in America when you hear a humble woman giving her answer, well, what do? Well, I just stay at home and take care of my children. Do you ever get the flavor that society looks down on the stay-at-home mother, this role that God has called them to? And the poor woman that has to answer that question, well, looks down and says, well, I just stay at home. That's not a just role. That's one of the most important roles on earth.
taking care of them treasures. And yet, for some reason, we have implied upon Our Lady, well, you're just a stay-at-home mom. For some reason, that's how they feel. That's shameful to make them feel like that. Now, if they get a chance to be the doctor, the lawyer, the Supreme Court justice, praise God for that. But the society that presses upon our stay-at-home mothers, how is that all you do, is shameful. In the Old Testament, there were women judges, there were women leading, there were women dropping millstone on evil people's heads and killing them. There were books written about women, and in Genesis, when God created Adam and saw that everything around him was good, except for the fact that Adam was alone, He said, that's not very good. It's not good that he's alone, it said. And God, in His wisdom, created woman in the image of God. I think, I would assume that God, in His creative genius, all you have to do is look at an orchid or a Minnesota lady slipper or a Baltimore Oriole or the greening of the grass or beautiful people or beautiful animals or anything else, and you get the flavor. God is a creative genius. Amen? I have an idea that when He created this first woman and called her Eve, she was absolutely stunning in appearance. I have an idea. And I say that because Solomon reminds us there will come a time, charm is deceitful, beauty is fleeting, one translation says, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And so even in Eve's absolute stunning beauty, Solomon writes a long time later, beauty will fleet, beauty will pass away. But the woman who fears the Lord, who has Jesus right here, she shall be praised. You see, friends, oftentimes in society we put a premium on our accomplishments and titles and a certain size. And on and on and on. And I'm not taking anything away from women or men who have accomplished things. Praise God for that. But when our society puts all the emphasis all on that, then we have forgotten that the Bible says the woman who honors the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is the most treasured woman there is. We have forgotten that. The one who knows Christ and who is led by the Holy Spirit of God is that most blessed, most treasured woman there is, and she should be praised, the Word of God says. Now we could look at length at the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, but I said we're not going to do that. But I do want to say this about Proverbs 31. And if you've never read that, I'd encourage you to do that. It talks about the virtuous woman. And I want to say this. I have seen lots of you at everyday work and everyday life and everyday action. And just allow me to say this morning that you fit the bill of the virtuous woman. You may not think you do. You may think that's too high a standard. You may think that's an impossible task. But I just want you to know that lots and lots of you, I have seen you in action, and you fit the bill for the virtuous woman. And I praise God for all of you. So we're not going to look at Proverbs 31. I suppose we could ask a whole bunch of men, what are the best qualities of a woman, and get their answers. I'm sure they would be varied. I'm sure they would be all over the board, but we're not going to ask them either. We already have the answer. The woman who puts her faith in Jesus Christ, puts her trust in the living God, and has surrendered herself completely to our Father in heaven is the virtuous woman. And Solomon writes, she should be praised. That woman will pour herself out for her children night and day. She will love her family. She will care for them, even if it means she's not the president of some company. That same woman will pray and she will teach, and she will take care of. And as Richard said earlier this morning, she will put a Band-Aid on your knee and spank your bottom when you need it all of the same day. And in her own life, she will preach volumes about what is really important in life and eternally. In her own life, she will instill in us what's really important. When you ask the world around us what they see as an important factor in being a woman, they reply normally about our success, our titles, our looks, our appearances, our status, our beauty, and all that stuff. But the Bible says charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, that's the one that should be praised. That's what the Bible says. Sometimes I think we have got our emphases and our priorities in the wrong place. I'm not taking anything away from women's accomplishments. Please forgive me if it sounds like I am adding to what women deserve, to be praised for the fear of the Lord. At the supermarket checkout, you can glimpse at Vanity Fair and Vogue and 16 and Women's Day and all that other stuff, and they all emphasize external beauty. But that's not what the Bible calls beauty. Ladies, young and older alike, when you have the God of the universe living in you, you are beautiful beyond description, and don't let anybody tell you any different. When you know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are led by the Holy Spirit of God, you're not perfect, nobody is, but you are beautiful beyond description because you know the Creator of the universe. Way too much of the time, the world is trying to mold our young ladies and young men, but we're talking about ladies and mothers and womanhood today. Way too often, the world is trying to fashion and to mold and to form us into their thought process and their mold. When I suggest if we let the living God and the Word of God mold us and fashion us and form us, we would be better off. And I simply say, ladies, young ladies and older ladies alike, please do not let the people of the world influence you to look and act like the world. God is who you matter to. Husbands, let me just say a word. God did not call your wife to be your slave. God doesn't treat His bride like a slave. And sometimes in societies, and sometimes even in America, and sometimes even the church, we have things way out of balance. Let me just say one more thing here, men and boys. If you think that motherhood is a cakewalk, go ahead and try it a month or so. Trade places with your wife while she's raising a few of them little rascals and cooking for you and cleaning and sometimes doing chores and sometimes running a business or whatever else. Just try it for a few weeks and see. I assure you, when we do that, we have a new perspective on motherhood and women. Let me just say this, and I'm going to read you a little story before we close. Ladies, men too, but ladies, just because it's on TV, just because you read it in Dear Abby, or just because Oprah said it, does not mean it's from the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not the will of God. Please do not let the world shape who you are. It will if we give it a chance. Please do not let society squeeze you into its mold. God loves you more than society ever will think about loving you. God has more value on you, more than society ever will value you. Let the Word of God, the will of God, the Spirit of God, the Son of God form you and mold you and make you into the woman of God that He wants you to be, not the other way around, the world squeezing you into their mold. I praise God for the role of mothers. I praise God for you, women here today. Maybe our mothers today, grandmothers, stepmothers, foster mothers, or may will be someday. I praise God for you. Let me close with a little story, then we'll sing our last song. Have you heard of Susanna Wesley? Anybody? Susanna Wesley. Wow, just not too many of you. Susanna Wesley is the mother of John Wesley. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church in the 1730s. Susanna Wesley is the mother of Charles Wesley, who wrote 6,000 hymns. When Susanna Wesley, this isn't in this story that I'm going to read you in a minute, when Susanna Wesley was raising her little ones, she homeschooled them. She used nothing more than this for her text. This is where her children learned the ABCs. This is where her children learned to read. Here's a story I want to share with you about Susanna Wesley. 10 of Susanna's 19 children died before they were 2 years old. 19 children. My grandma lost 3. I never asked grandma about that. She never volunteered it either. I can't imagine the hurt of losing one, much less half, like my grandma did. Or over half of your 19, like Susanna Wesley did. 10 of Susanna's 19 children died before they were 2 years old, and one of her daughters that lived was deformed. And yet, in spite of all of this, she wrote in her diary one day that all of her suffering, all of that pain, all of that suffering, she said, served to promote my spiritual and eternal good. Glory be to thee, O God, she wrote. In all of the suffering that she went through, she wrote, all of my suffering served to promote my spiritual and eternal good. Glory be to our Lord, she said. Her father was a pastor. Her husband was a pastor. And one day John, her son, would be one of the greatest evangelists of that century. But her father refused to submit to the English law of 1662, which forced all pastors to obey the Book of Common Prayers. They didn't want to go outside of the Word of God and go by just some book, and so they didn't conform. And 5,000 of these Christian men were called nonconformists. Her dad was one of them. 5,000 of those nonconformists died in English prisons for their faith. Her husband, also a nonconformist, remained with the Church of England. For this, his barns were burned, and his own disgruntled congregation had him arrested and sent to prison. This was their pastor. Her husband. And during that time, Susanna endured terrible poverty. During those years, remember, she is not raising 19, but she's still raising 9. A thief who knew about her and her nonconformist husband ways slashed the udder of their milk cow so she didn't even have milk for her children. One day, an irate parishioner of their own church, while her husband is in prison, she has very little to raise her children on. An irate parishioner burned their roof. All the family was in it, and they all escaped. But 6-year-old John Wesley was forced to jump out of the second-story window to survive the fire. He survived that fall. And you know, and I know, John Wesley grew up to be the founder of the Methodist denomination. Another of her sons, as I said, was Charles Wesley. He wrote the classic hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and 6,000 more. Here's my point. Susanna, excuse me, Wesley put it simply, religion is nothing else than doing the will of God and not my own will. Heaven or hell depend on this alone. Whether I do the will of God or my own will. And so I read us that little story to remind us, ladies and men too, don't let the world mold you. Let the Word mold you. Don't let the world dictate your beauty. Let God and His Word dictate your beauty. Don't let the world tell you you're not valuable because you can't do this or you don't do that. Let the Lord determine your value because you are value to Him. You are eternally value to Him. Just let's sing. And so today, if you have a chance, thank God for your mothers. Today, if you have a chance, thank God, thank your mother for raising you, and thankful to our mothers for what they have done for us. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you again for the role of moms. We wouldn't be here without ours. And I just want to ask, Father, again this morning that you would comfort those mothers that are hurting today. You know the reasons. I just want to pray, Father, for those that are hurting because, well, maybe their relationship with their mom wasn't that good, or maybe their child is gone. I just want to pray, Father, you'd comfort them in a really special way today. And I want to pray, Heavenly Father, that we, especially in the church, recognize the important role of women in our lives, as our mothers, yes, and in our lives in general. I want to pray, Heavenly Father, that we in the church help our young women to realize the importance and the beauty of being fashioned after the Word of God and being child of the King, more so than fashioned after the way of the world. And so we're asking for help in that regard today, Father. I just pray that you help us to have a good day and be with those families, Father, that we got funerals behind us and funerals before us. And I just pray that you'd comfort each and every one of them today, too. And so thank you again for the beauty of this day. Thank you for all that could come. Go with us, Lord, today, tomorrow, and always. Draw us close to you. Help us to depend on you, trust in you, surrender to you, and live for you, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.